place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Celebrity Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, you often hear me talking about living your true life and how to live your true life and how to be authentic and how to be real and how to really convey that in this world at this time. And I find often that some of us are looking for answers and others of us would like to know how other people are making their authentic life a reality. And I think it's very interesting from a perspective of a celebrity in this situation, because I find that celebrities are people too and are immersed within the press and on TV and constantly bombarded. And it seems to me that that might even be more difficult to keep an honest and true perspective, to understand where you're going in life and to be true to yourself. Because you have a lot of people that want you to do a certain thing or be a certain way. But in the same respect, I find that with anybody. We all have people that might want us to be a little different. More this way, more that. We have people that might be pushing on us to do something in a specific way or have a certain career. I know that some of you listening tonight probably had parents that told you what you should do as a career and what you shouldn't do. What you'll make no money doing and what you won't be happy with. But as usual, we have to step aside from the past. We have to step aside from what other people want us to do. And we have to do what we want. But in order to live as we want and to do as we want, we have to know exactly how we want to do that and what we want to do. Because it feels like a lot of times when we don't have those answers, right, other people come in and like to make changes to our life. Joining the Live Your True Life Celebrity Perspective tonight is Emmers Cooper. Emmers has been nominated for a Daytime Emmy. He's in the popular show Vanity. He's a British actor. And it's amazing when you run across people that just have, they have that thing. You can tell from an outside perspective that they're living an authentic life. And you want to get to know them better. You want to understand where they come from. He's been in shows including Desperate Housewives, CSI New York, Touched, Blackish. He was also in the TV series Person of Interest, and I think he played a spy named Young Greer. And we're going to talk to him tonight. Emmers Cooper, thank you so much for joining Live Your True Life Celebrity Perspective.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I was like, is that me she's talking about?
You're amazing. It's awesome. I know it's funny when you like listen to your own bio, you're like, wow, it's not too bad.
Yeah, well, we can be very hard on ourselves. I'm always striving for more, striving for excellence. But yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm delighted to have you on. And, you know, first off, congratulations. And I hope that you have a really successful win at the Emmys coming up here in the next few weeks.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
So tell me a little bit about the projects that you've been recently working on and, you know, how your connection is with those projects.
Well, I've been shooting the movie Nosferatu recently, which is the remake of the classic original 1922 silent movie Nosferatu, which in fact was the first ever Dracula movie. And I'm playing Thomas Hutter, which is actually the lead. I think it's my first proper lead. I've had kind of leading roles, but this is the first time I've been in like 80% of the movie, which is really amazing. So I get to go on a real journey. And I'm alongside a wonderful cast, including Doug Jones, the incredible character actor, and Jodie Fisher, Sarah Carter, Jack Turner, and it's, you know, a period film based in 1843 Germany. So a lot of people have seen the original, so it's kind of exciting and intimidating stepping into the shoes of such a loved classic, you know.
That's really neat. It's always neat to do something that you've, you know, you've seen before that you actually love, that you have that genuine connection to. You know, how I think a lot of people often wonder, you know, being a successful actor, you know, a lot of us are trying to live authentically and do what we want. How do you pick and choose certain roles? Do you pick things that really connect with you? How does that work?
Yeah, well, I definitely think it's important to be truly authentic in whatever profession you're doing, because that will ultimately make you happy. I think a lot of the time, especially when I first moved to LA or when I started out, I tried to be the perfect guy. And I tried to say the right thing, and you know, I was playing the role of Emmers Cooper in a way which wasn't necessarily me. I kind of pretended to be something that I wasn't. So as the years went by, I kind of started stripping it back and working with great acting coaches and therapists. I've become a lot more confident in who I am, and I choose roles that really speak to me. I mean, at the beginning of my career, I would take everything and anything just to make ends meet. Now I'm a little bit more selective, but the kind of roles that I feel will touch people, inspire people, and hopefully make a difference. I often go for kind of the outsider, the roles that turn me on are often a bit troubled for some reason. I don't know why. I guess that you can bring vulnerability to those roles and strength. I kind of like complex roles. The more I can kind of get into the character's mind, the more it kind of inspires me to do a great performance.
That's neat. So, inspiration is an amazing thing, and it's interesting when we do go through that process of learning who we are. And I think that was really poignant what you said, because I think a lot of people go through life and aren't sure exactly who they are. And they just want to fit in because, back when we were in school, I don't know if you remember these days. You're younger than I am, so you probably remember them a little more clearly. But back in school, I remember everything and the only thing I wanted to do was just to fit in. And by trying to fit
definitely.
In, it was just such a big deal. And my voice is something that, I've had it my whole life, and it wasn't that high cheerleader voice that I wanted. And I just wanted to change my voice so bad, so I could fit in. And I think that when we become adults, like you were saying, it's like you have to sometimes shed those needs of identity and kind of move on and find who you are.
Well, that's really interesting. And by the way, I like your voice. I think it's a wonderful, resonant, and captivating voice, which keeps me interested. So that's a good thing.
Thank you.
At least you haven't got that high-pitched valley girl voice, because sometimes, it's hard to take those people seriously, even if they're smart. I can definitely relate to your story. And in fact, I had a real, tough time at school because I was the kid that did ballet and acting. And, I stood out like a sore thumb. I was in a very small town, kind of like Billy Elliot, without, the mining. And despite, being picked on for what I did, I kind of knew ultimately it would get me out of that place and give me a career in entertainment. So I kind of dared to be different, but at the same time, I tried my best to fit in, but it didn't really work. So I got in quite a lot of trouble at school. I was also dyslexic and ADD, so I kind of found it very hard to concentrate. And in fact, I was at my parents' school, which is a Rudolf Steiner school. So not only was I dealing with not fitting in school, I was also having to deal with the most embarrassing parents, because my parents were very different. Let's just say they're kind of hippies, and my father's very wacky, and my mother's a former dancer, and my father was often performing in amateur dramatics, dressing up as a woman sometimes, and all this stuff. So I was kind of dealing with numerous things. But now I've learned to, I really now love my eccentric parents, and it's kind of made me who I am today. The good thing about, the lucky thing growing up for me, my parents were so supportive, and they ingrained, didn't have much money or anything, but they let me believe I could do whatever I want. So I'm so grateful. I think as you get older, you start to realize it doesn't matter as much. And it's good to, I think so many of us are actually affected with opinions of people when they don't really know us. They just have an opinion. And I think it's letting go of those opinions and just realizing we can do whatever we want,
I agree with you. It's kind of like the concept of fill in the blank. I kind of went through, I would say, a cleaning house process, and I've done it several times. I don't think you can ever really get away from it, but I call it my spring cleaning, where I kind of look at definitions and titles that I've been given and the ones that I've actually accepted and then made them mine, and I'm like, wait a second, which ones of these are legitimate and which one are these that I just accept? And I think that's where it kind of all comes together in the terms of, figuring out who we truly are and how that extrapolates and crosses over with purpose. And I think once we figure that out, you're right. It's amazing to be able to embrace your eccentric parents and to embrace who you are, because all of a sudden it's like we kind of see ourselves not under the microscope of just trying to fit in, but now all of a sudden we realize that the things that kind of make us unique are the things that will actually help us fulfill our purpose.
I love that. I completely agree. I just read a book called The Four Agreements, and it's Never Take Anything Personally. I think we often do. And you're right, we make judgments and opinions of ourselves based on people's opinions. When we're all watching a different movie, life is a movie, and we're all watching our own movie. So one person's opinion is going to be different from another. And, you know, you're right. I had opinions on my and based on other people's opinions, which really held me back because, you know, I believed them, and some of them were negative. So it's rewiring your brain. I like saying rearranging the furniture in your mind because... and you have to work harder to rearrange it because you've made that opinion and you've had that opinion for the longest time. So for you to change that opinion, you have to work. And sometimes those old opinions creep back and it's a negative thing. So I really think it's focusing on the positive sides of yourself. And you're right to have a spring clean every once in a while because we can go back to old habits. You know, those demons can come back. So I think it's very important to have self-awareness. You know, a higher consciousness of, you know, on a daily basis, I try and meditate or, you know, just be aware of where I'm really at and live in the moment. Because a lot of the time we're living in the past or the future when neither of them have happened, you know, you're evolving every day. So the past doesn't necessarily matter. Don't judge yourself on the past. You know, you're in the moment and you can't make assumptions of where the future leads because we haven't got there yet. So I think it's about enjoying the moment every day, even if it's a bad moment. You know, you just have to realize it's part of the journey, the good and the bad. You know,
I agree with you, Immers. You know, it's funny. I remember years ago back in the day when I used to party and go out to the nightclubs and just have a really crazy time. And I remember one time just hanging out with my friends and we're all about to go to another club. And one of our friends was just like totally, I got to get there now. I got to get there now. And all of a sudden I realized I realized for the first time that I was part of the issue, but I was surrounding myself with people that weren't happy anywhere they were. And it was always going to the next place. The next place was going to be the place. The next place was going to be where the party is. The next place is going to be where we need to be. And then you get to that place, and that place isn't good enough either. And I started seeing that within my life, and it was kind of a storyline that was kind of carrying through. And I started realizing that I wasn't appreciating things when they were happening. And it was one time when... my mom and I had spent like a few hours together and it was really nice. But I wasn't really totally paying attention. I was on my phone. I was texting. I was doing whatever. And I remember she was about to leave. She's like, well, I'm leaving. I was like, wait, you can't leave yet. I mean, we just started hanging out. She's like, I've been here for 5 hours. How are some of the techniques with meditation as well that you can kind of sometimes recenter yourself when you're in a situation where it's kind of like everybody's focusing on the future or focusing on the past?
Well, I find that really interesting. And I think we're living in a day and age where we've got a frequency of instant gratification. We're constantly we have so many different things going at one time that we're kind of distracted. So I think it's very important just I think breathing techniques sometimes calm me down. I breathe in for 5 seconds and breathe out, and just a couple of minutes of breathing sometimes helps me center me. I mean, everyone has a different way. But I think we just need to be aware of how we can be. And a lot of the time, we are always striving for the next buzz or whatever, whether it's the next party or whatever, the next fix, when that will stop us enjoying the moment. And I'm completely guilty of that. I mean, I'm getting better. My mom tells me off, and she's quite strict about having a phone around, and I'm really glad she's got that attitude, because a lot of the time it's become acceptable to go to dinner or go out, and it really frustrates me, because if you're having a dinner, especially one-on-one, and they get out their phone, I'm so sorry, my phone's going, I'm turning it off, and you're having a dinner one-on-one, and then I've got the James Bond ringtone.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. You got to play it. You got to play it before the show's over. You got to play the ringtone just so we can hear it, but...
Yeah, so I think it's pretty insulting when you go for dinner at one-on-one and they're looking at their phone. I'm a bit old-fashioned in that way. It means I'm not interesting enough. I mean, I understand if there's a very important work call, but I think we all now, you know, people email you and they expect an instant reply, which I don't think you necessarily have, you know, you don't have to do that, because that will stop you living in the moment. So I think it's about being strict with oneself and, you know, knowing when is a good time to do work stuff and just having structure. And you know, when you're with friends or something, really connect your friends, and you don't have to always be on various apps and social media, because that will take you out of the moment. it's a real pet hate of mine, and I was guilty for it for a long time, but I'm getting better, and since I've kind of let go of a lot of those things, I've been enjoying life more.
I totally agree with you. And I think it's interesting, too. I think a lot of people struggle with this as well, and I know that you probably do, like the concept of, you know, the next role. You know, in Hollywood, that's the big deal, is what's the next role? What's the next part you're going to get? What's the next big film that you're going to be attached to? And I think that a lot of people probably listening right now feel the same way. Like, when am I going to get that next job promotion? You know, if I get that next job promotion, then I'm so much better than I am right now. And also I'm even more successful. And so how do you deal with kind of stepping back and saying and understanding and feeling and knowing I'm in the right place at the right time? And I know that everything's going to work out. And that's something that I work on a daily basis, just sitting back and saying, I know everything's going to work out. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. And how do you sit back and kind of just let things happen by being proactive? But what are some of the techniques you use to kind of get yourself back into that mindset?
Well, I think success is being happy every single day. Success is how much passion you're putting into whatever you're doing at that time. I don't think you can measure success by a paycheck. I've been my most miserable when I'm being paid the most sometimes. And I think we all go, if or when I have that thing, and that saying, I can't be happy right now, I think it's about, you know, the simple things in life can actually make you more happy than people realize. I mean, cooking a dinner, having a great relationship, putting your all into whatever you're doing. And I think we all play many different roles, but we're not defined by any of them. I mean, I'm a son, I'm a friend, I'm an actor, but I'm not defined by any of them. And it's about knowing which role you're playing at that time. It's like, if I'm going to be the son, I want to give my best as being that son. So, my English is really bad today, so I'm on a bit jet lagged. I think, yeah, to me, success is, it's not what necessarily some people think, but I think success to me is being happy every single day, or at least striving to be happy every day, because every day is going to be different. I think we're our own worst enemy most of the time. We sabotage our own happiness because we don't think we're enough. So I think, you know, just do your best every single day, and your best will be different every single day. If you're sick, your best is going to be different from when you're well. So I think if you're not as hard on yourself, you'll allow yourself to be happier, and that's success.
I totally agree with you. I totally, totally agree with you. So I know that our listeners want to know, what motivates you? What are you really passionate about?
I strive for excellence, and I'm extremely tough on myself because I started as a dancer at 5 years old, very regimented, extremely strict teachers, and from then I've known it takes hard work. I really enjoy doing something that I'm really passionate about and succeeding. And sometimes you fail. You can't always succeed, but you have to realize when you fail, you've learned lessons and you can take that onto your next project. I mean, I recently had a project that didn't go the way I'd hoped, and at the time it was incredibly stressful. I was shooting in a third world country, and, you know, I was really stressed out every single day. And I wish now, at the time, I'd kind of taken a back seat and just taken it for what it was. But I've learned from that, and the next one I do, I won't get so emotionally involved. I think it's just kind of observing rather than reacting. But we live on hope, and I think what inspires me is watching great performances, seeing great motivational speakers, trying to make a difference in this world. And I'm not just an actor; I'm also trying to do things to inspire people. And I'm at the moment trying to raise money for an orphanage in Bhutan, which is between China and India, a place I visited. So there's many different things that inspire me. It's not just acting.
That's neat. That's neat. That's really neat that you're raising money for an orphanage. That's really neat. Tell me more about that that specific orphanage.
Well, I've been to Bhutan now twice. I went 3 years ago to shoot a movie, and then I went back this year to shoot another movie. And on my days off, I did, you know, various excursions, and I went to this orphanage. And at the time, I wasn't sure. I thought it'd be very depressing. And in fact, it was hit by an earthquake, and it was, you know, at the top of a mountain. So the 40 children had very cold living conditions. And I went there, and I kind of... it really moved me, so I filmed a lot of it on my iPhone, And I decided that at the time I said I would love to help. So now I have created a GoFundMe page, and I've already raised $1,000 in 7 days, which is really cool. And I'm trying to raise 10 or more. So if you want to check it out, go to the GoFundMe.com/NYPHUG, which is NYEPHUG. So it's Help NYPHUG.
That's neat. We'll definitely put a link on there too.
So whilst I was there, I also realized that there was a lot of passion for the arts, but there wasn't the place to study. So I'm also trying to help organize and set up a school for performing arts when they can learn to sing, dance, and act. And, you know, I think giving them hope really is rewarding to me. So I am really excited to see where it leads.
When you were a kid, you know, so that's really amazing. When you were a kid, did you have an idea of what the future held? Did you have an idea of where you were going, your direction back then as a child?
I just knew I liked performing. I didn't necessarily know. I mean, I wanted to become a performer before I knew about money and fame. I started getting on stage at 5 or 6 years old. I started because I enjoyed the artistic element of it and creating a role. And the money and the fame thing came, you know, I realized about that. And I have to say, the money and the fame is often that gets in the way of the enjoyment. I guess I kind of always knew I wanted to be on stage. I didn't know in what capacity. And as I grew up, I think the first movie I watched, I just was blown away and I couldn't believe it. And I knew then, I was like, I'd love to do that. And in fact, the second movie I watched was Dr. No. And I told my mum, I want to be James Bond one day. And she was like, oh, cool. She was just thinking as a little kid. I was like, no, I want to be James Bond, like on the screen. I want to be a secret agent. And, you know, she kind of laughs and, I guess one of those movies just kind of inspired me to keep working hard. So I think I've always had a love for it. But I come from no connections to the industry, and I come from a very small place, so I just never knew how I was going to do it. But luckily, my dancing got me a scholarship at 16 to go to London and train professionally. And for 8 years, I was in, you know, musicals and dancing, and that kind of gave me an in for acting. It's incredibly difficult to get into the industry. So I'm very lucky that I had really amazing teachers that believed in me and pushed me harder than most of the students. I think they saw my ambition, they saw my drive. And I think a lot of it comes down to hard work, believing in yourself, no matter what industry you're in, and taking the knocks and just realizing if you're falling on your face, you're still falling forward. And believe me, I've had enough falling, landing on my face, knocking on doors that never, banging my head against a brick wall. But I just always believed in myself that I could do it, you know.
And that belief is so awesome. That's the thing, is that, you know, you have those times, and I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say everything is just wonderful happiness and roses and unicorns and rainbows. But there are some times where you sit there and you go, gosh, when are things going to happen? Or, you know, you've paid the dues and you keep paying the dues, and, you know, you kind of get a little down. And I think it's human to be down a little bit sometimes in your thought process. But I agree with you. You kind of got to just keep the faith, I think, in the process. Because I used to think it was always the end result, the end game, you know, a means to an end. And then I realized that the process, even though sometimes it seems like the process takes so darn long, but the process is kind of what it's all about.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean, I'm an artistic person, and as you're aware, we have huge highs and lows, and I've suffered from depression a few times. You know, I've suffered from, you know, the knocks and the phone not ringing, and will it ever ring again? And luckily, I think it's trying to have a good support system that can push you through those. But yeah, I've been so frustrated, and I'm enjoying the process and understanding that and being patient with that. And I mean, it's taken me a long time to start realizing even the struggles, if you can just let it in rather than suppressing that struggle, it's going to kind of be easier to cope with. And you just understand that. I think a lot of the time we try and delay the problem and push it down so we don't feel the pain. Whereas if you can get kind of let that pain in, you can channel it out as well. but I'm very hard on myself and plagued with a lot of self-doubt and very self-critical. I mean, I found it incredibly hard to watch myself on screen because I'm scrutinizing my every, you know, my performance. I'm getting better at it. God, is that the way I speak, you know? So it's not a bed of roses by any means, but I think you're constantly evolving. I think the good thing about being an artist is you have to have a lot of self-reflection. You know, you're constantly analyzing yourself because you know, this is my instrument. If you think about it like a violin, you know, that's their instrument. I'm the instrument. So I have to take care of myself mentally and physically, spiritually, so I can be the best actor possible. The more I know myself, the better I can understand human nature and what the character needs, getting in the mind of the character. So the more you're aware of your traits and your past, you can bring that to the role. So I think it's very important for me to understand the good and the bad of my, you know, we all have insecurities, we all have a good and bad side, and it's okay. I use those times that were really tough because everyone can relate to that. Allowing yourself to be vulnerable is what people gravitate towards because it's real. You know, people, and then they can see strength. I mean, I think vulnerability is strength. There's an incredible talk on TED Talks about vulnerability, and I completely relate to that. If someone allows themselves to be truly vulnerable, people gravitate and will help you and see what they can do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. And I think that a lot of times, you know, a lot of people kind of bought into a bill of goods, and I think I did when I was younger, that the last thing you wanted anybody to see was your vulnerability. And, you know, you were supposed to be tough and in charge and, you know, you're not supposed to cry and you're not supposed to show emotion. And it wasn't until I started getting past that. And I'd like to talk more about, you know, dealing with depression as well, because I know that a lot of our listeners are maybe dealing with that or have a family member as well. But it's like when you're going through that process and then you finally realize that being vulnerable is okay. But it's not only just okay. It's like the right way to be. It's like, it's so interesting how, if you look at some of the most interesting stories in Hollywood, you know, there's some really interesting folks that have gone, you know, way up and way down and back way up, but had a lot of stuff that was pulling them down for a long period of time. And when they were honest with people and stepped up and said, hey, I really had a problem. You know what I mean? And I'm dealing with it. It's like people can champion behind that person and, it's like their career is even better than it ever was. But it's, I think we as a human condition have problems when we feel that as though somebody is hiding their true self or hiding their reasons for doing something. And I think that's so interesting. How do you deal, or how at one point in time did you deal with the ups and downs and still deal with some bouts of depression and being in the limelight?
Well, back to the vulnerability thing, that was beautiful what you said. I can see that with many actors, and I think people can sense when you're not being your true self. And I think people really appreciate when someone can own up to their struggles rather than pretending it didn't happen or, you know, being dishonest. You know, I grew up thinking vulnerability was weakness, and I never cried. I cried one time, and I think a kid told me I was like a girl at school, so I decided to never cry again. So I actually didn't cry till I was about 18. And in fact, at my grandparents' funerals, I refused to cry. That's how strict I was with myself and how ashamed of my crying I was. And then as I got older, I realized it was okay. And in fact, as an actor, I had a real block for a long time. I couldn't really cry. I just found it very difficult. And, you know, it's taken work. But the last film I did, I actually really, I just put myself in the shoes of the person or in the character. But I think back to your question, sorry, I'm actually a little confused. Sorry, I've lost my train of thought.
Oh no, I kind of added so much, and I kind of had a little bit of too much in that concept, too much in that thought at one time. I think it's all the coffee I've been drinking. But anyway, I like where you're going with the vulnerability though, and I think that's very interesting. It's like I'm trying to think of the name of the actor, and I won't harp on this, but I know that he had a bout with drugs and addiction and stuff like that, and so and it was really interesting when he actually was very honest. And we've seen the other side too, you know. In Hollywood where people aren't extremely honest and then they hide stuff and people feel as though they've been lied to. Because I think that to a degree, you know, and this is what I was kind of getting at, is that to a degree, you might not know everybody that watches your show, right? But most of those people that watch you on TV feel to some degree that they know you, right? And so that in itself, it's like people feel as though they know you, and they have certain things they love about you, and there's certain things. And so when you're going through that process, I find that ultimately knowing that information and knowing that it's, you're not just, and I'm, you know, I'm just trying to be as honest as possible in the fact that, you know, when people have a private life, it's a lot different story. They have a few friends out there that they hang out with. They go and have drinks with folks, you know, maybe they belong to a group or a social organization. And so, you know, their umbrella of folks that know them is a certain finite umbrella. But for somebody that's on the screen all the time, you realize that a lot of people are, you know, they fall in love with you, or they like you, or they don't like your character, or whatever it is, you know, how, I guess what I'm asking is, like, you know, being that we all have our ups and downs, and I find, you know, I'm a therapist, and I find that a lot of clients that come in don't understand that it's okay to have ups and downs. Like, they feel like there's something wrong with them, and they don't understand how to keep that and how to not project that. How have you dealt with in the past, knowing all that and knowing that a lot of eyes are on you, how do you deal with those times when maybe you don't feel like you're on top of the world?
Well, I think, you know, being in the public eye is a big responsibility, and it's a blessing and a curse. It's an opportunity where you can touch a lot of people, but it's also, it's scary because you're putting yourself in a position to be judged. And some things will be said that can hurt you. But you can't take it all too seriously. I think what you said, you know, I think maybe Robert Downey Jr. was who you were implying. And
you're right.
The reason people accepted him is because he owned up and he really fought to get better in sobriety. And people like Lindsay Lohan, for example, don't take responsibility for their actions. She blames the world. So it's, I think people don't want to see someone played a victim. And listen, I've done things in my time I'm not proud of, but I've never been the victim. I've owned what I've done. My decisions got me there. So as long as you've understood the journey as to why you got to that position, you can hopefully not do it again. So there will be good times and there'll be bad times. That's life. Everyone's going to go through good and bad. You can't get away from the bad times. So I think once you understand, you can't get away from those bad times. It's like a cycle. It's a circle. You're going to go up and down, round and round. But as long as you have awareness the whole time and you can constantly accept those and see them as blessings rather than a curse, I think it will make the lower times in your life easier to deal with. Once you accept that they're going to be there, you're not going to fight them.
I agree with you, and I do feel like we all have these cycles, you know, and I always, when I talk to some clients, I say, you know, hey, recognize the fact that this is something that's kind of occurred before, and how we want to deal with this, I believe, is like a lesson, you know, and I think often we find troubling issues that come into our life, and we see it as, oh gosh, here we go, more stress, more pain. But I find that if we can kind of like basically sit back and, like you said earlier, you know, it's, you know, our life is like our own film. Sit back and watch the film, even rewind and watch the play-by-play. We can, a lot of times when we kind of separate our emotion to a certain degree, can realize when something is a learning experience.
Definitely. And I like that we said watching the film, and sometimes you want to rewind so you can remember, okay, I won't do that again. And that part of the film wasn't actually as bad as I thought. Oh, that part was pretty exciting. And at the time, it can seem like the worst thing ever. You know, the world's crashing down around you. But you'll get by. And then you'll realize, why didn't I just take it for what it was at that time? And rather than reacting, it's just, as I said before, observing. And I think if you can observe, you won't necessarily be as hurt by things or people. Because a lot of the time, and I'm completely guilty of this sometimes, you know, I'll get very pissed off at an email and I want to immediately respond to that. But often I now, you know, take 24 hours and you find your perspective will quickly change and your attitude will change. So I'm learning to not react.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's a big thing to do. I mean, because, you know, it's human a lot of times to react. But I love that, you know, take 24 hours. And that's for all listeners out there. I mean, I think that's a good idea. I also feel a little off topic. You know, when it gets a certain time at night, it's good to put the phone up and not respond on social media. Because a lot of times, you're right, we make knee-jerk reactions sometimes, you know, especially when we feel like we're not being understood. And
yeah,
that's the reaction mode. And when you go into reaction mode, it's like, watch out.
Well, I think we all expect to be understood, and then we don't understand why we're not being understood. And I think it's, as I said before, we're all watching a different film. We're all seeing it in a slightly different way, but we expect everyone to see it our way. So once you kind of realize as to why they're seeing it their way, you're not going to be as disappointed or however you may feel. And, you know, we all encounter situations where we're going to be hurt. And then you have to say to yourself, have I done something to cause that? Or is it just their issues? And if it's something you've done that has caused that, you can put it right, or you can try and put it right, or you'll know you've done something and you'll hopefully not do it again. But if you realize it's just about their issues, or, you know, their agreements with themselves, you won't take it as personally, and it won't hurt you as much. So I mean, these are things I've learned in the last year or so, and I'm still having to remind myself on a regular basis, because I'm in an industry where I'm constantly judged on, you know, everything, my parents, and it's very easy to get consumed with opinions. But I'm starting to let that go, and I think that's been really liberating.
You're right. Everybody has an opinion, right? Everybody
yeah.
has one, and they all have an opinion on what you should do and where you should be and what you should be doing. And it's always interesting. I had a friend of mine years ago tell me, they're like, you need to live out in the country. And I was like, what? And they're like, you need to get a house out in the country. That'd be good for you. That'd be good for you. And I was like, you want me to get a house out in the country? I mean, like, well, where are you talking about? And so they're telling me all these places. I'm like, so I can drive into the studio 2 hours away when I had to come in? I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah, you need to get like a 4-bedroom ranch out in the country. I was like, I don't even have any kids. I was like, I don't even have any kids yet. I mean, I have one dog. He's 45 pounds, you know? I have a husband. I mean, us three together, we don't take a lot of room, you know? I don't really. And they're like, no, I really think that'd be good for you. And so I sat back and I was thinking, I was like, what in the hell are they talking about? And so I called my buddy up the next day and I go, you know what? And he's like, what? And I go, I got an idea for you. And he goes, what's that? And I go, I think you should get a ranch style house out in the country. I mean, it'd be great for you. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, I think this is about you. It's not about me.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, you know, I've always wanted to live out in the country. I was like, well, maybe you should check it out. And it's interesting how people, you know, they project things. And if we don't realize it's a projection, we sit there and go, well, maybe I should change my name. Well, maybe I should move out to the country.
Totally. I really like I completely agree. Basically, opinion is an opinion. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's just an opinion. And whether you want to take that on or not is up to you. And so much of the time, you're right, people project, or people out of insecurity will say things to you because they're trying to put their defense mechanism up. And for the longest time, I would let every opinion into my life because I was, you know, I was new to the industry. So, you know, I'm told, oh, you're too skinny, you're too this, you're too that, you know, change this. And I'm trying to please everybody, but, you know, it's everyone else's opinion, not mine. And once you can listen to your gut and really look at the situation, you won't let that opinion. And some people's opinions are great. I mean, I often have people close to me that will bring me back down to earth. One person, I have a whole circle of people that have a different set of opinions. And I don't know, opinions is the wrong word, advice. I ask for advice because it's sometimes good to have people you can trust. But a lot of the time, there's negativity, and people will say things to you to sabotage you and bring you down because that makes them feel better. I wouldn't let the negativity into my life.
I like that. It's funny. I think you'll get a kick out of this. Years ago, God bless her, this woman wanted me to change my name. And it was funny because, you know, I mean, it's not hard. My name's not hard to say. It's Burgess, right? It might be spelled differently than B-U-R-G-E-S. It's B-E-R-G-E-S. It might be a different spelling. But she's like, yeah, I just don't know how to say that. And I was like, well, how do you say it? How does it look to you? And she goes, Burgessi. I don't know.
Really?
And I said, really? And she said, yeah, it's the challenge. And she goes, and that's getting in the way of your listenership. That's getting in the way of stuff. And I said, okay. I said, what would you change it to? And she goes, Bridges. I would just change it to Bridges. I think that's easy. I was like, Bridges? Like Lloyd Bridges? I'm like, I'm not related to the family. You know, I said, that's interesting. And so for like 4 days, I like was in turmoil. Maybe I should change my name to Ashley Bridges. And I sat there and I thought about this stuff. And finally, on the day four, it was like, you know, and day whatever, you know, God made Earth. You know, I was like, I got mad. And then I got angry. And then I was like, how dare her tell me to change my name? But for 3 days, I really thought that was the end all be all and that I needed to follow that. And it's so funny. I called her and I was like, there's no way in hell I'm changing my name. I was like, I've had this for so long. If you would have come to me when I was 16, maybe this would have been an option. But I'm happy where I am. And it's funny. God bless her. I mean, she's a nice woman. She thought that was a great idea. But it seems to me that sometimes I think people have great ideas, but I think sometimes those ideas can be very good and very genuine. And some of those ideas can take us off target and can move us from maybe being authentically who we were made to be.
Well, I know a lot of people that have had to change their name, and it's your identity. You've lived with that. And some people I know who've changed their name have ended up changing it back because it's like, it's very difficult. It's like living a lie. I, in fact, have a story about changing my name. Well, I didn't change my name. I was born Emerus, but my first job was washing up in a kitchen of a pub, and the chef said, I can't pronounce your name, Emrice or Everest, whatever. Do you have another name? So I went by Matt, my middle name, and it was so funny because people would call my name and I didn't respond. So I was the worst, you know, I was the worst staff they had. I just was like, you know, obnoxious, you know, oblivious half the time because I just wasn't used to being called Matt. But back to opinions, I mean, that's just her opinion. And sometimes it's a bit of a cop-out or excuse, you know, why can't someone, you have to sometimes educate. Sometimes people don't want to open their mind. I mean, your name is very simple. It's not that difficult. So I'm really glad you stuck your guns and kept your name. And I think it goes with many things. Many people want to change other people, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's right. So you have to stick to who you are. And I'm glad that you didn't change your name because it's a great name that is your name.
Matt, okay, we're looking for Matt right now. Matt, are you there? You're like, who are they looking for?
My name is Emerus Matthew Emmanuel Cooper, so it's a bit of a mouthful, but I just go by Emerus Cooper. It's much easier.
It's a great name. And it's interesting, though. Yeah, you're right. It's like, why make somebody else's life easier? But so you know, let me ask you, I think music really connects with me, and I know that a lot of folks, music, you know, like you were talking about, you know, not jumping to making a decision or not, you know, not retaliating. And I think that one of the things that I like to do, if it's something that's a really big deal, is I like to get in my car and I like to drive somewhere, maybe out to the country, for God's sakes, I don't know, but I like to listen to specific music. What are some of the songs that really connects you to yourself, connects you to your heart, really seems to get you back in center, or just really makes you feel like awesome?
I love music. I completely agree with you. There are all types of music I love, everything from classical to hip hop to dance to EDM. And I grew up listening to Tchaikovsky and Swan Lake and dancing. And it's interesting when I'm doing a role, and if the role requires me to go to a certain place emotionally, I listen to music to trigger just emotions that music can do. You know, recently I had to get very emotional as I acted a scene where I lost my wife. And you've got all this chaos going around you on the set, and it's very easy to let that in. But I find music just helps me go to a place that is so connected to my heart and soul that I can zone out. And I think it's really important to learn to enjoy music. A lot of people do, but sometimes we just aren't switched on. I mean, I love listening to music at the gym. It just pumps my mood up. I love dancing and getting in my body. I love walking. I think sometimes we can get low, and just sometimes putting your headphones on and walking around, going to the park, music can lift your spirits. I grew up listening to Michael Jackson and copying every single dance move, and I listen to that music now and it brings me back. I think music can be so good to memories. I mean, isn't it fun sometimes when you listen to music that you grew up to? And I'm always listening for new music. I love going to festivals. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be at Coachella this weekend because I've got to go to New York for a screening of my new series. Otherwise, I'd be at Coachella jumping around to AC/DC and then Calvin Harris. I mean, I love a bit of everything.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So what's going on in New York coming up? Is it a screening of your recent show?
Yeah, so I'm going to Tribeca Film Festival, which is a really great film festival in New York City, and they're premiering some episodes of my new series called Relationship Status, which is a really fun show about dating and social media and, you know, dating apps and all that wonderful stuff. It's really interesting, and I was reading it going, wow, it's really true, all this stuff, and how insecure it can make you. And it's scary at times when you think how people know so much information about you before you even had a conversation. It's like, well, you know everything about me. And I think that takes half the fun out of it. I mean, don't you think it's sometimes cool to hear it from that, you know, point of view? So I'm going to New York to promote the show, and it's going to be really cool. The show is going to be available, I think, at the end of this month or early May. It's going to be available through Verizon G90, which I had no idea what that was because I'm not very cool. I'm still a little bit of a caveman. I'm starting to get with the apps. But, yeah, you can watch it, and you can put it on your TV. If you download G90, and they're creating original content now, kind of like Amazon and Netflix. It's got a really good cast. Emma Bell from Walking Dead, Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes. It's got a really cool young cast, and it was really fun to work on. We shot it in December. So to be part of this whole new digital wave of digital age now, you know, I've worked on primetime network shows, which is amazing, but the next generation is watching TV and shows in a very different way. So accessing a new audience is really cool. And the fans of Vanity, my last year's show, were so passionate about the show, and just interacting with them was really fun. So I'm very lucky to be part of these two shows.
That's really neat. And relationship status, I was just talking about that with some folks the other day about how it's just complicated. You got people that always put complicated up there. I have clients that come in here and they're into my office, not in the studio, obviously, but come into the office and they talk about, you know, being on Tinder. And they tell me about how often, you know, they text back and forth. And they know all this stuff, and they haven't even been on the phone yet. And I said, you know, I don't know. There's something about meeting somebody, walking down the street, or meeting them at a pub, or even in a grocery store, wherever, at the gym. There's something about that that is a little more organic than somebody already knowing everything about you before you even had a phone call.
I completely agree. Yeah, and it's fun to be spontaneous. I think people are under such strict time constraints, they don't really want to they want to rush everything, so it's like instant. And sometimes you can't push a relationship. It will happen or it won't. You can't sometimes make it the perfect relationship. Some people come into your life for a short period of time, longer, you know, just everyone comes in for a reason, to teach you a lesson or help you grow. It's just important to reflect and know if it's good or bad, because, you know, everyone's going to go through a rough time at some point. And, you know, relationships take work, good friendships take work, you know, and as long as you understand there'll be times where you hate that person and love them again. But you have to know that you know, I think love is a choice. You have to work on it. It's never going to be plain sailing. But no, I'm completely with you. It's fun just to have an organic meeting rather than, I mean, listen, I've never really tried it, to be honest with you, because it's just too, I'm already over my phone. It's too time consuming for me and kind of boring, but I think everyone's different. I think I know a lot of friends that have met people online and through dating apps, and that's great. No judgment. I think it's awesome, but I think if there's a million options, it's hard to suddenly know the right one.
It's true. It's just there's so many options out there, and it's always very interesting. I'm just glad that I was able to meet somebody organically, and I know that it's kind of just it's kind of a different timeline right now, and a different air about our universe, our world right now. But I do think the more we kind of make it easier, and the more we kind of break it down, it just seems that I don't know. It just seems that when we kind of see it that way, it seems to work. I was going to ask you, do you consider yourself an introvert or do you consider yourself an extrovert?
I go back and forth. I'm a bit of a loner, to be honest with you, but then I can be extremely social. I really enjoy being with my animals. I have three cats and a parrot, and I love animals. I've grown up with them, and I love being with them. It really calms me down, and they're very perceptive and my moods, and it's so funny. My parrot knows if I'm down, and she coos, and people don't quite get it. They're like, "Oh, only a dog can give you love." I'm like, "No, my parrot knows," and she kind of coos in my ear, and she's so sympathetic to my moods, and she's so sweet. But then again, I think with what I do, I exert myself so much, and I'm always around. You know, if you're on set for 15 hours, 14 hours with 40 people, I'm a bit of a clown at times. I want to entertain people. I want to be fun. I want to have fun. That's kind of who I can be. I'm a little bit of a child, but then I'm kind of like burnt out by the end of the day, and I just want to kind of be on my own, or, you know. So it just depends on what kind of job you're on. I mean, sometimes I could be on my own for a whole week, and I'm like, oh, I need to see people. But I'm very comfortable being on my own. So if I can answer your question, I'm both, I guess. It depends on the situation.
I totally understand. I work solo a lot, and so I get it. And then when I get around groups, I do like to ham it up a bit. Tell me, what's the name of your parrot?
She's called Coco. She's an African grey parrot, and she's 23. I got her when she was 18, and she's kind of crazy. I got her, actually. I rescued her, and she had hardly any feathers left, and she'd been never taken out of her cage, and these dogs had barked her, so she kind of had massive stress, anxiety, and OCD, and she just plucked herself to pull that thing, and the first two or three months, I couldn't hold her, because she would just bite me, and now she's the most loving parrot, and I think they respond to love, and I had a cat that was feral, and then it just hid under the sofa for the first couple of months, and then gradually, you know, it's let it come out and have its food, and now it's just so loving. I think they respond to the love you get. You accept the love you think you deserve, right? But animals definitely are so, they respond. I love animals.
I do too.
I'm sure I didn't answer your question. I'm so sorry.
No, you totally did. I have a dog named Buddy, and he's adorable, and we really, really connect. And it's one of those things. I've always loved animals my whole life, and I actually kind of felt sorry. I remember when I was a kid, and I had a dog named Snuggles, and Snuggles was a Pomeranian, and I named the dog, obviously. I named Snuggles, and I remember I wanted to take Snuggles everywhere, and, you know, like, my cousins and them were like, no, you know, like, they're my aunt, and was like, well, we don't have dogs, we don't have animals, you know, you're going to have to board your dog, and I got very angry, but then I started kind of feeling sad for them, because I feel that when kids and people are not raised or don't live around animals, it's like there's a level of love that they don't get to have.
I totally I have a lot of friends that don't understand why I like animals and cats. For example, a lot of my friends hate cats, and it's because they might have had one bad experience of a hitting cat. But I grew up like you with animals, so I loved having something to care for. I think it's really good to have something to care for. It's important. It gives you a responsibility. It's nice to have that responsibility to care for something else. And I think it grounds me, and it's good to come home to something. It makes me come home. Sometimes, you know, you could be out running around and not have to, and then you can be exhausted. But it's nice to come home and have that thing to care for. And an animal's love is unconditional. So I think that's wonderful.
So let me ask you, I love that. Let me ask you, if someone wants to know this, how do you feel like you're living your true life right now?
I think you have to gamble on yourself. You can't live your life for anyone else but you. And sometimes you want to make decisions that will hurt people. But in the long run, if you're true to yourself and you make decisions for yourself, it will be better for everyone around you. If you're in a bad relationship and you're scared to leave, you're hurting yourself and the other person. So you sometimes have to gamble and take a chance. I think it's scary. Change is hard. But with change comes growth, and you'll be happier. I think a lot of us, include, you know, there'll be times in our lives where we're stuck in a situation or a job that we're too scared. We don't believe that we can have anything better. But we can do. The mind is such a strong. We're capable of whatever we want to do as long as we put our mind to it and believe in 150%. So I think. Hopefully that answers your question.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. I think that's amazing. And I agree with you on the relationship thing. I mean, you know, a lot of times people stick in there because they don't want to hurt somebody, but in the end, it's just hurting both people.
Yeah.
So last but not least, would you tell our listeners what you're working on and what they're going to see you in next and where to find you?
Well, here's a little self-promotion. Okay, so you can check me out, I guess, in a month from now. So look out for there'll be some advertisement coming out soon and some press. So just look out for the show. I'm about to go and film. Well, I'm filming Nosferatu right now, the horror movie, and then after that, I'm going to be shooting a Frank Sinatra biopic playing Montgomery Clift, which is going to be really exciting because he's such an inspirational actor and just so talented, and I can't wait to step into his shoes. I'm doing a lot of research right now. That's really fun. And I have a couple of other films coming out this year. A movie called Till We Meet Again, which is a movie I shot in Thailand a couple of years ago about backpackers. It's a really fun movie. I think that's coming out this summer. It did the film festival circuit and did very well. And then it got picked up for distribution, which was really exciting because you never know with these things. And then I have another film called Kushitara coming out again. I'm not sure with the dates. It's a movie I shot in Bhutan. And then there's a movie called Alter Perception, which is a sci-fi thriller. So you guys can follow me on social media if you like. Hopefully I won't bore you. And my social media is my name, Emrys Cooper. And then there'll be updates about releases and stuff. And hopefully some of the work I do this year will touch people.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you're able to come on the show. I'd love to give you a copy of my book and see what you think about it since you're a big believer on the Four Agreements and I look up to that author with very much respect. I'd love to get you a copy and see what you think. And in the meantime...
Oh, yes, please. Please send it to me. I'd love to read it. Or just tell me where I can get it.
And I definitely will. And when we finish the interview, I'll definitely send it to you. I'll get you the information to send to you. But I'm just so appreciative of you coming on. And I think that people really resonate. And I think that you're really helping a lot of people by what you're doing and being authentic. It's amazing. And it just really is powerful.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on your show. Thank you so much. And I think this is a really inspiring conversation for me. A lot of the time I do interviews about nonsense. And this was a really refreshing experience. So thank you for the interview.
Well, thank you so much, sweetheart. And we look forward to having you back on. And we know that you're going to have some amazing successes. Can't wait to see the Emmys. I know that you're going to be probably winning one for sure. And it's the first of lots of them. And just look forward to following your career and just keep doing what you're doing because you're impressing a lot of folks.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you to say.
Well, thank you so much and have a good night.
You too.
What a wonderful interview. What a wonderful conversation, really, with Emrys Cooper. I think we can all learn a lot, but we also can really see our own life in our unique perspective. And you know, it's all about being authentic and realizing that we might not just be like that person or this person, and we might not be or do what other people want us to do. But when we're living true to ourselves and asking those deep questions, and maybe not always getting the answers that we want, but at least we're seeking them. While we seek the answers, we become more wise. We become more knowledgeable about ourselves. And we begin to find the love that we have. You know, the most important relationship you'll ever have is with yourself. And if you can find the love within you, you can find love within others. What we see within ourselves, we can see in others. I ask you tonight to begin to ask yourself, how are you living your true life? How are you living your true life, and what are you doing every day to maximize what you have right here on planet Earth? I appreciate Emers Cooper for coming on the show. Look forward to following his career. I think he's amazing, and he's really just top-notch. Being authentic and being true. And those are the people that we really rally behind and believe in. Be true to yourself. Rally behind yourself and begin to ask yourself those serious questions, but also have fun in life, you know? There's times to be serious and there's times to have fun. Check out my website at ashleyburgess.com. Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com. My Twitter handle, at Ashley Burgess. Go online and check out AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. It's the AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. You can just Google it, Ashley Burgess Network. Check out all my shows. Listen to them. Be able to hear them in the car. You can buy them. You can listen to them on a USB. You have to never be lonely and never be bored again on a road trip ever again. And it's your life. And I want to hear. Please Twitter me. Twitter me and tell me how you're living your true life. Hashtag LYTL. Hashtag LYTL. Stay tuned. Check out new shows on Spreaker, on the website, and on the network. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. You know it. Yeah, in three shakes.